This is an interview with Lewis Spillman on May 30th, 2001. I'm going to let you hold that closer to your mouth.
You can put it right here, can't you?
I'll put it on here to protect it. How's that? And as long as you keep that little button up, we're okay.
Then if I want to talk off the record, I push that button down, right?
All right. You were not a traditional student. What did you do before you came to Methodist College?
I was the editor and publisher of three weekly newspapers in Northeast Tennessee. And one day my wife decided that she didn't want to raise her children in Eastern Carolina, so we sold out and came back to Fayetteville. I had not had a college education as such. I'd gone to college, but very short time. I went to Washington Lee University for a short time. And so we decided to go back to Methodist College and finish my education. As I tell people, I was a printer before I went to college, and I was a printer when I left college. But I was a printer after I left college with a college education.
That's right. How did you choose Methodist?
Well, this is my wife's hometown, and Methodist College was just opening, and we were casting about for a place to go, and this looked like a good field.
And it was a field at that time?
Yes. The college was a field. It had no grass. It was covered with sand spurs, and there were three buildings under construction. I first saw the college in June of 1960. Of course, there was no activity out there at the time except construction. I registered for classes in the old Pittman building downtown on Hay Street, the corner there on Hay Street.
With whom did you register? Sam Edwards?
I don't know whether I registered with Sam Edwards or Dean Ficken. I can't remember. I remember going upstairs and talking to someone, but I can't remember. It logically would have been Sam, because he was the registrar. I became very close to Dean Ficken during my times at college. In fact, I took French from Dean Ficken and promised him that if he would give me a passing grade in French so I could get out of school, that I would never speak French or never tell anybody I had French. So I think
well,
I ended
up... From whom you took French.
And so he finally ended up giving me a C and I got out.
What buildings were there when you started?
Well, when I started, all the buildings were under construction to a point. I took my classes in what's now the trustees building, and also in that building were all the offices when they moved into Pittman building. The president's office was in the front corner toward the student union building. And most of the offices were in that side in that corner. But that's where all the classes were taken except for science, chemistry, and math. And that was across into the original science building. The other building was the student union building, which didn't have anything in it, but there was a post office there, and there was a counter for refreshments, and that was in the end, which is now toward the library. Downstairs they had the makings of a cafeteria, but they did not serve food, and we would bring our lunch in a brown bag, and we'd go down there and eat lunch. And
because you were all day students, there were no resident students.
There were no dormitories. The first dormitories were, I don't know what you call the buildings, but they're still in existence over near the shopping.
They're Honors Hall now. They're called Honors Hall.
But they were the first resident halls, and my nephew was one of the first residents in that thing from up in Waynesboro, Virginia.
Who was your nephew?
Bob Reynolds. I think he had the distinct privilege of burning the dean in effigy
was he the one?
He was the one that did that. I almost disowned him.
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember what that was over. What was the trustee's building the first building to be built?
Yes, I think it was his first one that we had use of, really, complete use of. And of course, professors had offices. The few professors had offices along the corridor there. We didn't use the downstairs in that building that first year. And our first convocation was held in the corner of that building in the classroom toward the now administration building. That building has a name, I just can't think of it.
The corner,
right. It was in that corner. It was a classroom that had sort of a slant in it. It may still have it. It was a big room. And then we moved from there as the year progressed to where our assemblies were held in the science building, in the center of the science building, in that building. And we never got so big as to outgrow that one.
How many were in that class?
Either 70-some or 90-some, I can't remember. You'd have to look at the records, but I'm thinking in the 70s. We later held assemblies in the Student Union building, but they set up chairs.
Could you talk about some of the faculty and staff who were there?
As I say, Dean Ficken was the Dean of Students. He also taught French. Was probably my favorite. He and I spoke on the same level, I think. Marie Fox, very attractive young teacher that was the English department and very good at it. Of course, Sam Womack was there, and I majored in religion. Sam was on one end of the log and I was on the other end of the log because I was the only student in religion. And we took a lot of my credit courses one-on-one, which made it very interesting, very rewarding. You don't have that opportunity anymore. Dr. Ott was a favorite of mine. Dr. Ott's the man that said, if you do everything I assign for you to do and do it well, you're a C student. If you want a B or an A in this class, you need to go above and beyond in research. And he meant it. I remember I took trigonometry under him. He taught math, too. I took trigonometry under him, and when I put the paper up, he called time on the final exam. And I said, Dr. Ott, you don't mean for anybody to pass this exam, do you? Because his exams were long enough that you could not finish them. And that way he could judge what you really knew. He was an excellent professor. He lived right across the street from the college. But Willis Gates taught us fine arts. And he was a special kind of person. He
was
definitely a gentleman, definitely a musician. I remember sitting in his fine arts class listening to orchestras and have to identify what instruments were playing. But he and his wife both were very fine people. I had a son that took violin from his wife. That,
of course,
Alvin Stewart was a librarian and his assistant was Mrs. Ammons. And the library was in the basement of the trustee building, in the basement toward the road, in that side, in one room, not much bigger, maybe twice as big as this room, that was the library. We also, after the first year, started the student publication, and we called it the Small Talks. That was based upon the fact that we had a mall. We'd call it a mall anyway. And I helped them with that. Of course, that was right up my field. I enjoyed doing that.
I was going to say, you brought a lot of expertise to that project.
Well, maybe some people thought it was expertise, but yes, I enjoyed doing that.
Who else served on the Small Talk staff with you? Do you remember?
I'm an old man. I saw a picture of the Small Talk staff, and in fact, you probably have the picture because I think I saw it in your office, or maybe it gave it to you, I don't remember, but in the back of that room, I'm looking at a sheet of paper, and those three or four people in front were the people on it. I just can't think of their names right now. If I saw the picture, I probably could. But.
What were your impressions of Dr. Weaver?
I thought he was a brilliant educator. And while we're talking about that, we've had three presidents that I've served under all three of them. I served on the Board of Trustees under all three of them. Dr. Weaver was an educator, and he put the college on the academic standard that it should have been on. He started it on a good academic standard. Dr. Pierce came along when the college was really in trouble because of the college situation all over the country. And he was a businessman, and he kept the college doors open when, by all statistics, it shouldn't have stayed open. We were bankrupt, didn't have enough sense to know it. Now Dr. Hendricks has come along, and Dr. Hendricks came in and has a good repertoire, I think, with the people in Cumberland County, and the city and the county have fallen in support of the college, and the college has grown under his administration. But I think the Lord put all three of them there at the right time for the right thing. Dr. Pierce had been the first president, it wouldn't have made it. If Hendricks had been the first president, it wouldn't have made it. They came at the right time. College.
And Dr. Weaver had a lot of North Carolina connections too.
He was superintendent, I think, of Durham County Schools, wasn't he? Durham. But he was an educator. You ask me what I think of him, I stood in awe of him.
What about some of your fellow students in the early days? Some were traditional age students and some not.
Well, my closest connection in student body was Bob Lapke, who was a retired major of the Army, and I had a dilapidated 1950 Ford. The door wouldn't even shut. We'd tie the door to shut it, and I would pick up Bob over here on Devon Street every morning, and we'd go to school. And we'd rattle right into the parking lot and hit the curb so it would stop, and we'd go to school. Bob was an interesting person in that he had been a major in the Army, and they had a little different attitude towards school. I think Bob was sure the school benefited by his presence. But he was a nice guy. His widow's still living over on Devon Street. The young people, I say young people, I was 10 years there, senior. Jerry Wood was a good friend, and I'm real proud of how Jerry has made something of himself. He's gone a long way. The man used to work for Merrill Lynch. Ralph Hogg was a good friend. Now, Ralph was sort of between us. Ralph had a cut 2-year hitch in the Navy before he came to school. So he was a little older, but he fit right in. And Ralph made a good niche for himself in society. Although I understand now he's not doing too well.
The one I was trying to think of who died was Samuel Marston Pope.
I remember him.
He had been in the Navy, I think, before he came to Memphis too, hadn't he?
Yes, I remember him, and I don't remember anything specifically about him. There used to be a man my age, I cannot think of his name, that lived across the river. and lived, moved to Richmond. And,
Stewart?
No. Cannot think of his name.
Was he the one who accompanied Betty Neal quite often on the piano? Because that person went up to Richmond too.
Betty Neal, by the way, Betty Neal Guy, was a classmate, and but Betty Neal Guy came from the next farm over from ours, and our relationship was a little different in that where some of the people in that generation, some of the people in that generation I really related to at that time. Betty Neal was just a kid in the farm next. While we were in school, we weren't quite as close. We're real close now. Sometimes she was too close.
She started a year later, didn't she? She transferred over from
That's right. She told me that the other day because I said, why didn't they recognize you when they recognized the original student? She said, I wasn't an original student. So you're right. Betty Neal wasn't in that first class. The fellow who's the doctor. In that first class, we had one doctor.
And you had Amos McLam?
Amos was a class comedian. but as far as we didn't have much social in that first year, so we didn't. The social started the second year and maybe the third year. I used to take my kids to dances out there in fact, there's a picture running around somewhere of Mary Mack and her brother Tia dancing at a Methodist College dance when they were about. They weren't too old, 8 and 10, something like that. But it's been a good experience. I am thankful for the opportunity to go back to college. I had a college education when I came out, and being a stranger in Fayetteville, I'd married a 71st girl, but she was in those days, she was a country girl. And so the city folks there wasn't much back and forth between the city and the county, although I think my wife is related to everybody in Cumberland County at that time. It was so bad when I first came here that when somebody knocked at the door, I'd say, hello, cousin Roxanne, or hello. And they may not be, but I just thought they were. And back then we referred to kinfolk as cousin. She had a lot of kinfolk. She was getting a lot of people in town, but people in town knew me because I'd been to college, and when I opened my business, I bought Worth Printing Company in my junior year of college, and the college helped me establish myself in the community. Since that time, I've been on the school board 14 years. I've outlived everybody on every committee I've ever been on, I think. Been on the Salvation Army Advisory Board for 34 years. Been on the Board of Trustees for 30 years, 31 years now.
Did you think you'd be in a class with the sister of the future president of the United States?
It didn't impress me. It never bothered me. It never bothered me one way or the other. Ruth was Ruth. I used to rent a house to Ruth on the Prison Church Road for her ministry. That was my house that she rented for that ministry.
I was going to say, she never put on any airs.
No, she was just a fine, fine person. I thoroughly enjoyed knowing her. Monroe Evans' wife went to school, took French with her.
Oh, Mildred Evans.
Took French with Mildred Evans. And of course, she served on the county commission. Her husband was mayor. The college has touched a lot of lives in Fayetteville and Cumberland County. And it's definitely an asset to the county now. People will tell you it is. At one time, they weren't sure whether it was or not. But
I know you were on the small talk staff. You were also in chorus.
Yes. Bob Lepke and I both decided to go out for chorus, and all I can remember of that was we gave a couple of performances, but Dr. Gates would say, "Mr. Lepke, don't slide." Instead of making distinct movements from one note to the other, he would sort of, "Mr. Lepke, don't slide."
Yeah, Alan tells me that in the early days, and Gene Ishii said too, that in the early days, the chorus met in what is now Honors Hall. You know, one of the buildings, the dormitories. It was built in one of the dormitories.
She
talks about moving that organ to the second floor.
They may have at a later time, but in that first year, we met in the science building.
The science building. That's right, because she said the piano was in the science auditorium.
Yes.
She wondered what the science teachers thought of all that.
That's where we practiced, in that center thing, room that has the... the Honors Hall wasn't there.
No.
It wasn't there.
No. What about student government?
Didn't have any, I don't think.
Uh-huh. When did that start?
I don't remember, because that's something that I didn't get involved in. When we started getting resident students, I became an outsider. If you know what I mean, I didn't take part in campus activities as such. Of course, I was in business by then, I wasn't at school. I finished all my work for a degree, except for two courses, at the end of my junior year. In my senior year, I only took two courses.
You were actually the first graduate.
Well, certainly the first person to finish their work for a degree. Bunce.
Betty Bunce
was either the first or second person to walk across the stage. I walked across the stage whenever S's were supposed to walk across the stage. But yes, I do have the distinct honor of being the first person to complete their degree work. I was the first person eligible for a degree.
Speaking of graduations, your baccalaureate and graduation were held off campus, weren't they?
Baccalaureate was graduation held in the student union building. I think the, and again, you're maybe Hay Street Methodist Church, if I'm not mistaken. I think the bishop spoke. What was his name?
Bishop Garber?
I knew him as a youngster, because he was the district superintendent in the Stanton Williamsburg district.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or Harrisonburg Stanton. I don't remember what that district was called, but he came from, and so his name was familiar. My dad was a Methodist of some note, and I'd met Bishop Garber as a child. He was, our commencement speaker. That was in the main level of the student union building, in the half of the student union building. The student union building is twice as big as it used to be. And like good commencement speaker, I can't tell you at all who it spoke. I can remember the only speech I ever remember at Bethesda College, and I don't remember when it was made or why it was made, but Stacy Weaver made the address. And he wasn't an outstanding orator, but it paid to listen. And he was talking, got on to first grade teachers, and I thought that perked my ears up because my wife was one. First grade teachers are born in heaven. They're not educated in a college.
That's true. That is very true.
But,
what impact did Terry Sanford have? He was around a lot in those days.
As a student, I wouldn't have known him if I passed him on the street. When I became a member of the Fayetteville Foundation, after I graduated for a year, I was on the alumni board. And then I went on to the foundation through my business. And I was there on that board till 1970. And then in 1970, I went on the board of trustees in June of 70. Terry Sanford probably had done his best work before I got there, because by the time I came on the board, he was an occasional visitor to the board. I could say Mott Blair was the chairman when I came on the board. And back then, the movers and shakers were Wilson Yarborough and some businessmen like that. Especially Wilson Senior. I'm hazy about a lot of those years because I hadn't.
Dr. Ott caught fire. And he said, you'd have to know Dr. Ott to realize that there wasn't a lot of fuss about this, that he just began to smolder, and that's when we realized. And he said, Dr. Ott always kept his grade book in his pocket. No matter where he went, that grade book was always in his pocket. And they said they talked it over and decided to let him smolder a little longer to see if maybe that grade book would catch fire, because he was such a tough grader.
Absolute tough grader.
Oh, dear. Okay, we talked about your work with the Alumni Association, and you have a lot of people. Sure. We haven't changed. Okay, still plenty on that side. You had a lot of family members. How many people in your family attended classes at Methodist?
Well, I have two graduates. My daughter Mary and my daughter Emily both graduated from Methodist College. Mary came there her junior year and graduated class of 74. Emily came there much later and graduated in a December class, and I don't remember the year. And most of her work was done in the night school. I don't know what date she graduated, but I can't remember. My son, Ted, who was a graduate of Annapolis, went to Methodist College to take speed reading. One summer he took speed reading there. And my son Sam took a couple of summer courses there. That's all the children I have. I'm trying to get a couple of grandchildren to go there, but they're not quite old enough yet.
Another generation? You held a lot of positions on the Board of Trustees. You've been treasurer, and I looked it up. You were on the Development Committee.
I was chairman of the Development Committee when the Riddle Center was built.
He was talking about that yesterday, how influential you were and what a help you were. Could you talk about that just a little bit?
Talk about it. You're on this Development Committee. All you do is after people who get interested in funding a project, we thought raising money for that building was an impossible task, but it happened, and people were gracious, and people supported it. It didn't come without a couple of disappointments. I was hoping we'd have that one big benefactor that we never quite got. Certainly the Riddles helped, and there are other people. Sanford, who used to be on the board, was very helpful.
Charlie Reeves
was very helpful. And we would take anything that had a marketable value to build that building. That was probably our first major fundraiser. And we had a good committee. They worked hard. Gene was probably our advisor at that time. I can't remember exactly what his...
He was vice president for development, yeah.
At that time, okay. I knew he was, but that was my experience with asking people for money. I told somebody the other day, I don't touch money now. It wouldn't be a good job for me.
I was alumni director then, and the alumni really fell behind that project. They knew that whole team all of us were there, and it became temporary and temporary and temporary.
Yeah, of course, we didn't have anything like that when I was a student. That old tin building had been pretty good the first year we had it. But is it still standing?
It is. They use it for storage. But we all tried to get gym the first period of the day because it would get so hot. The sun would hit that metal.
I didn't, that's something I remember. I did not have to take PE because I was a veteran.
Oh, I see.
And much to my relief.
Gosh, it was a real advantage.
Sam Edwards was a PE coach, along with being registrar. Sam is the only person alive today, I guess. Who has the privilege of knowing the grades that I brought from Washington Lee University. I made him swear on a stack of Bibles he'd never show that to anybody.
He's living in an assisted living place run by Marriott in Raleigh. And I think he's the social director there.
Reese was a classmate of mine. Reese was a good, active young man.
Yes. He came back and he was the master of ceremonies at the Hall of Fame banquet last year at Homecoming. He did a wonderful job. Obviously at home with all of that because of being the announcer for NC State games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he brought his dad down with him. And his dad, I guess, must be about 89. He was 88. When I interviewed him, and that was about a year ago. So,
Sam and I were in Rotary Club together.
That's right. He was very active in Rotary. Right. You've been on the Buildings and Grounds Committee, too, haven't you?
I'm on it now. And the Buildings and Grounds have improved, not because I'm on it, but they sure have improved.
Hard to believe when people haven't been back to campus, how it's changed.
I'm also on the Finance Committee. And I've been on the Executive Committee for a long time. Sometimes I think they give me these positions just because I'm the oldest rat in the barn.
Well, you've had a lot of experience and a lot of history with the college.
Well, I think a lot of Methodist College now.
Methodist College thinks a lot of you.
I have. I'm not able to do a lot for it now, but I have remembered them in my will. So if I don't spend it all, they'll get some.
People who were there, especially through some of those harder times, early times and harder times, say over and over the ones I've interviewed, it amazes me what the college did and what they had to work with financially and so on. And we really have tried, and the trustees, I think, have never overbuilt and built as much as you paid for. And the trustees deserve a lot of credit for where the college is now and how it's grown and grown carefully.
Well, the trustees are not, and they shouldn't be, just yes people, but they need guidance also. And we have not always gone along with what the administration wanted, but I think we've got a good board of trustees.
Very interested board right now.
And we have some alumni on the board. I was the first alumni on the board. And I thought I'd cut that off. I kept looking around for more alumni. Now we've got several, so I think that's great. Speaking of alumni, of course, you probably have your little book there, but the Alumni Association has awarded me both their outstanding and their distinguished awards, which I appreciated. And then during Dr. Pierce's administration, I was a speaker at the commencement, one of the commencements, and that was interesting. I was given the Methodist College Medallion at that time. I say it was interesting, the next day the Federal Observer came out and discounted everything I'd said.
Oh, no.
Basically, I told the graduates that they should be very happy in whatever they choose as a lifetime vocation. That basically is what I said. And Federal Observer said that was an unrealistic that sometimes you just had a job because you needed to work. It was unrealistic. I told him, if you're not happy in your job, quit it and get one you are happy at. Anyway, that was unrealistic. I've always been happy with what I did.
That was argued by an unhappy reporter.
Probably.
Yeah, but I think you could make yourself happy or unhappy.
Well, I decided about 25 years ago that I was never going to have a bad day. And I've never had a bad day since. I told somebody there's rocks in the road every once in a while, but you can walk around them.
That's right. You also got a citation recently from the college.
That was just for living longer than anybody else. That's all that was. that's all. That's what it could have said.
That's for the number of years you served on the Board of Trustees.
Outlived all the other trustees.
Was that for 30 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for
Veritas. Yeah, I don't know how much longer I want to serve on the Board of Trustees, but I've enjoyed what I've done. I have often been on the losing side of votes. Very often. I think that I want to see the college keep the Christian standards that they started on, and I'm not sure that's absolutely being done. I just I watch very carefully as they talk about alcohol, they talk about different things. I think we're better off this year than we were a couple of years ago, but
I look at that, but I also see more opportunities in the ministry besides the chapel building, the fellowship district, education trips. There's so many outreach, more outreaches than there used to be. Dr. Hendricks, when they're choosing a chapel, he always says that this is, you have to almost be missionary because there are a lot of students who are not coming to the church background.
That's the world.
Yeah, it is.
What else can I tell you?
No, if there's anything else that comes to mind.
My mind's blank.
Yeah, I doubt that. All right, I appreciate your time so much. Okay. Well, that was a wonderful help.